feeling stuck in some area of your life as if you can't move forward? What if you could change how you think about it? How can you do just that? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we discuss how to change your thinking by renewing your mind in relation to your deeper Christian living. We're so excited you're here with us today as we explore how to bring a sense of growth into your life by renewing your mind. And naturally, we're starting our conversation with a look at Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I love how the New Living Translation puts it. It says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And wow, I love that. You guys know I'm a whole life coach, and I love working with my clients in the area of mindset. And you know, I fully believe if you want to bring change in your life, it always starts with the way you think. And that's what we're reading. The scripture says the very same thing. So talking about the way you think takes me back to the days when my husband and I were called by the Lord to become foster to adopt parents. There is a whole lot of training involved in that in order to get approved to bring our boys into our family through the foster care system. And, you know, Ricky had been a dad to his two girls, his biological girls, but being a parent to children coming out of foster care is really a whole different ballgame. And we couldn't just rely on what we had known from our past experiences. We had a lot to learn. And so we had to go into it with what the world calls a growth mindset. And some of you guys listening may have even heard me use this phrase before. And so if you look at it using our example, we had to have a growth mindset. We had to walk into that experience believing that our abilities to parent children coming out of the system could be developed with effort and persistence. They weren't skills that we just automatically had. You know, we felt very ill-equipped for what we understood lay ahead of us. But, you know, God just kept assuring us this is what He called us to do. And so it takes me to 1 Corinthians 7:17 that says, "Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them." And so, you know, this felt like that was an assignment that was beyond our grasp. We didn't have the skill set, but because He said, "I'm calling you to it," I knew He would give us the strength and endurance to get through the race, to equip us for it. And so I was just actually talking with someone a few minutes ago about how the Lord called us to work with the Children's Home Society, to get training through that organization. There was never a question of who we were to work with. And they walked us through a step at a time. But there was a lot of mental work. It wasn't just about being trained in a classroom setting. There was mental work. And so again, you know, Romans 12:2, we had to renew our minds daily on the calling from God because it was impossible to do it in our own strength and in our own knowledge. You know, we could only do it because God equipped us and called us to it.
Amen. That is so true. And I can't even imagine, you know, taking on, you know, two boys. And I know you had talked in the past how you were committed to adopting them and taking them in before you even saw pictures of these boys. You didn't even meet them. And you were committed. You were willing to follow the Lord with that. And it just really blows me away. It shows the commitment to follow through and not even know what you're, you know, opting up for, you know. I think that's really powerful. It's, you know, so, and I'm really grateful, Jo Heather, that you picked this topic. It's one of great importance. You know, I think our entire Christian walk is really one gigantic long renewal of our mind. It really is. And some of us are going to need more work than others, depending. I think it has to do too, like when you got saved, like when, if you lived a long life and without knowing the Lord, you were pretty grounded in your own way of thinking, you know, and I think it's a little bit harder depending on when you get saved to change some of that stuff because, you know, we get stuck in our ways and people are stubborn. People really are. They don't want to give up. You know, they want to be with the Lord, but they don't want to give up the way that they think about stuff, whether they process things, or, you know, a lot of the behaviors, they don't want to give up. And they're just content to kind of stay there with what's familiar because, I mean, let's be honest, change is uncomfortable. You know, people don't like to, we're creatures of habit. We like things to stay, you know, even keel. But those who desire to have a deeper relationship with God, I know we're talking about dwelling and stuff at different points, but how we desire to have that deeper relationship with God, well, there's going to be a greater renewal of our minds. And really, if you're called to walk a little bit closer with God and you're willing to take that step, there's a lot more that you're going to have to change inside of you. You have to change the way you think, the way you look at the world, the way you behave, the things that you say, lots of things. Because I know that's been true for me. I mean, once I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure Joe Heather and I will talk about this at some point in the future, so you know what are they talking about. We will explain it at some point.
That's right.
But yeah, but when I got the baptism, it changed me a lot. I mean, I got changed a lot when I got saved, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit really put me on fire for God. I mean, it was like I was becoming activated for the Lord. And I developed this deeper desire to be closer to God. And I also became more aware of sin, meaning there were things in my life that used to be, you know, no big deal, you know. And God informed me, Tammy, those things have got to change in you. You know, I mean, things like the way that I dressed, things I watched on TV, things I listened to, things that came out of my mouth, and the way that I thought had to change. This last one was critical. God had to really renew my mind if I was going to be able to walk closer to Him and understand the things in the Bible and understand His kingdom. I had to change the way that I thought. So God was calling me to shift my focus from worldly thinking to kingdom thinking. But before we dive too much more into this topic, I want to let you know how you can find us. So depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast with your family, friends, and anyone you know that could be in need of some love and encouragement in their life. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access on every Wednesday to both video and audio. And if you think, well, I'm not sure I can commit to going there every week, well, just sign up on our email list. There's a form on our website, and we would email you the podcast every Wednesday.
Wonderful, Tammy. Thanks for that reminder. I love what you said right before the break there, you know, about worldly thinking. We have to change. And maybe you're sitting there and you're listening to us talking about this and you go, there's no way I can change the way I think. But God makes it possible. And so, you know, I actually learned about the phrases growth mindset and fixed mindset first through my sister, who's a teacher in the public school system. And she was explaining it to me that students with a fixed mindset believe that their basic talents and abilities are just that. They're fixed traits. They believe they have maybe a certain amount of intelligence and that's it. There's no point at working at something any further. And so, it makes me think about me when I was a kid. I had a fixed mindset about math. I believed I wasn't a math person, so I avoided math. And I've actually battled that mindset even into my adulthood. And to be honest, I'm just now really opening up my mind to realize that while math is not my strong suit and it does not come naturally to me, it is something I can do with God's help if I just try it with an open mind. And so that's what we're talking about with you today. It's just be willing to say, okay, God, you know, I'm hearing this phrase, renewing my mind. I'll be willing to listen to Tammy and Joe Heather and see what I think. So, you know, the concept of, you know, mindset relates to your faith journey. and deepening your belief that you can renew your mind. I mean, the Lord wants you to renew your mind and to be transformed into the person He knows you can be. And it all starts with how you think. And so as I was preparing for this conversation today, the Lord brought to my mind the account of the potter's wheel that Jeremiah recorded in chapter, what is for us chapter 18. But God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And so Jeremiah obeyed and went there, and he watched the potter work at the wheel. I don't know if you've ever seen that, where they shape the clay into the pot. And then God told Jeremiah that, like the clay in the potter's hand, God could shape Israel in the way that He saw best. And so I really felt like God was speaking to me with that illustration. And He was reminding me that He can shape me in the way that He sees best. And don't get caught up and stop there. But you have to remember, I'm an active part of the process. I can either be obedient to His calling and open to growth and change and renewal, or I can resist it and shut it down, which actually shuts down the blessings He has for me in return. So you have a part of the process. God doesn't just reach down, grab you, and shape you into something different. You have to be a part of it. So, and this brings me back to my work as a coach. You know, it's so liberating when you realize that the biggest thing holding you back from God's call on your life is not your lack of giftedness or what you can do, but it's your thinking and right believing that's holding you back from serving as God's hand and feet in the world in the way He's called you to do.
Amen. Those are powerful words. They really are. And you're right. You have to be willing. We talk about this in so many of the different topics that we discuss. It's a choice. You have to be willing, right? You have to be willing. If you don't want to change your mind, it's not going to get changed, right? As much as the Lord would like that for you, it's not going to happen. He's not going to force Himself. He's not that way. He's not a forceful God. But He also gave us, you know, the Holy Spirit. And that works in us to encourage us to change. Now, sometimes, maybe from my personal experience, the Holy Spirit can be very persistent, especially when God has something that He wants to do in my life and I have to change something first. You know, something that needs to go away, or I need to see something differently, or I'm not behaving right. You know, in order to do a new work in me, something has to change. And I'll give you an example. So my mother and I had a falling out when I was younger, and as a result, we didn't speak for a decade, and that's a long time. There's a lot of missed moments that I'll never get back. And, you know, along with that, I didn't speak to my two brothers because they took my mom's side. So I lost my entire family for a decade. She didn't come to my wedding. There's a lot of missed moments on both ends, and it was never, it's never good. It's never fruitful. And you're probably thinking, well, GTM, why did it take you so long? Well, I mean, I can't speak for my mom, but I confess that in me, I was stubborn. You know, I always felt like I was the one having to make up. I was always the one trying to be the peacemaker, you know, and trying to, you know, mend relationships. And one day I just refused to forgive. And I said, nope. And what happened? A decade went by. A whole decade went by. That's what happened. Now, I know we've talked about this, and we will be discussing, you know, forgiveness in a future episode, because it's a really important topic. We've touched on it in different episodes, but I'm going to talk about forgiveness in terms of the renewing your mind, because this is something that actually, Heather, God showed me when I was preparing for this. I had not seen this aspect that had to change in me for this part in my life to get better. Because God, He wants me to forgive. He doesn't want me to forgive like the world forgives. He wants me to, you know, have a renewing of my mind. And so in order for me to forgive my mother, I had to learn how the kingdom forgives. I had to change my mindset on how I viewed forgiveness. So when we forgive like Christ does, for one, he forgives our sins. Like, He doesn't remember them anymore. And I'm going to give you a verse, an example. So in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their inequities will I remember no more." Now, this verse is basically talking about the new covenant with Christ. We're not going to be talking about that today, but I want to point out a few things here. That one, that God washes away all your sins. He doesn't remember them. It's forgotten. It's done. It's as if they didn't even happen. So, and if you study the word inequities, it is more than just sin. It is, and it's also separated out in the verse as sin and their inequities. So it's viewed upon as two separate things. So the word inequities, if you look it up, it means offenses, wrongdoing, injustices, and unfairness. Now, these are some of the things that keep us from forgiving others. We don't feel like we were treated fairly, right? So back to my story. So I was pregnant with my first son, and I had this pressure inside of me that started, you know, I just kind of brushed it aside or whatever, like I ain't forgiven her. You know, she did this and she did that, and I'm not going to be the one to make, I mean, I'm actually arguing with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be the one to forgive her. And that was a terrible attitude. Can you imagine if God treated us that way? I don't know, Tammy. You act terrible. I'm not going to forgive you. You know, no, that's not the way that God acts. But God loved me, so he kept working at me because God wanted me to change the way that I thought about forgiveness. And he wanted me to stop thinking about the way that the world thinks, because I am in the world, but I am not of the world, right? So I needed to shift my perspective to understand what the word says about how God's kingdom forgives. I am a child of the king. And I need to renew my mind of kingdom thinking, right? That's where I need to start seeing things. And I have to tell you, this was not easy for me. I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. It was not. I mean, it took me a while because I was still hurt. I was still hung on to that justification of those inequities, of unfairness. You know, I didn't feel like, well, why can't she make up this time? Well, a decade went by. I don't think she was gonna step forward, right? And but God just said to him, I need you to let go of all that. And just trust me, just let go of all that. And so it took me my entire pregnancy and 3 months to finally reach out and call her. And one of the things that the Lord has said was, you don't have the right to keep the fact that she has a grandson from her. That's not your right, Tammy. You know, he did nothing. He's an innocent bystander in this whole thing. That's not your right. She has a right to know that she has a grandson. And that weighed heavy on me. And so I called her on Christmas Eve. And man, I got to tell you, we were crying. We were on the phone. Can you imagine your daughter calls you on Christmas Eve and you hadn't spoken for 10 years? And there was just like this instant healing, this instant that God just washes you with his love. I'm sure he was up there dancing, right, over me. Then we talked about in the word how he dances over me. Because I did, so I was obedient. I finally did. And he rewarded me. There's such a beauty that comes when you are obedient and you forgive. It's the joy that is replaced from all that. I kept that garbage for 10 years, right? I could have had this instead. He takes all that away. He doesn't just wash it away. He gives you. He gives you love and peace and all this stuff. Yeah, and so it was a super blessing. And so my son is going to turn 20 this fall. 20. So already I've gotten back double, right, for what I lost. Right. And we have never once, this is one of the things, you know, that we decided upon was we're never going to rehash it. We're never going to go back where that it's closed. It's a closed door. We are not going back there. We're not going to because what'll happen if he rehashes it? Think about this. We can start feeling justified again. Well, you never said you were sorry for that. Neither did you, you know, and you can see the things that'll come up. So we agreed no, because we want to forgive like God forgave. And I can tell you the blessings that I can't even remember. Some people will say, well, why didn't you speak to your mom for 10 years? I'm like, well, let me think. And they think I'm crazy because I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure I could look at some things if I really wanted. But why? Why would I want to rehash up something that God has cleansed away? And I want to say to Mom, if you're watching, I love you. I'm so grateful that God changed this inside of me so you could come back into my life. You know, I can't imagine you not being in my life. And I'm just so grateful that God worked forgiveness in me. And he can work forgiveness in you too if you're listening. Because God, that's the power of renewing your mind. You know, in my flesh, I could not forgive her. But I wasn't forgiving her in my own flesh, right? God had to renew my mind first. So, now I'm going to wipe my tears up here. I didn't think I was going to get emotional today. But yes, I'm grateful. This is the blessings that comes when you can let the Lord renew your mind. So I'm going to take a break before I pass it back to Jo Heather, and I'm going to let you know about our special sponsorship message. So Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored today by our very own Jo Heather Dotson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Are you ready to discover what's next in your life as a credentialed coach? Jo Heather provides a space for you to discover the answers you need for your work and life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled, structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. You can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. And if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Oh, so sweet, Tammy. Thank you so much for sharing that, and just a beautiful message to inspire all of us as we look at our relationships and, you know, with a renewed mind in the Lord. And so those of you who are listening, you know, you might be now suddenly ready to jump into renewing your mind, but you might be feeling unsure as to how to get started. And, you know, again, it all begins with how you think, and how you think is impacted by what you believe. So I want to give us a couple of steps to get you started in the right direction. And if you're in a place where you can, you might want to jot these down. And so I'm going to give you 5 steps. And so here's the first one, and then I'm going to go deeper into them. So you should be able to catch it. So number one is, I want you to reflect on where you are today. And number two, I want you to identify what thinking you need to change. And three, pray, asking for God to help you change your thinking. And 4, meditate on the word. And 5, be transformed daily by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so those are 5 steps. We're going to dive into them deeper now. So on step 1, reflect on where you are today. I just want you to take a moment to think deeply. Maybe you need to pause the podcast right now and just jot down some answers that come up as I ask some of these questions. And maybe these questions aren't the ones that are going to speak to you. Maybe there's others that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your heart. So just be listening, whether you're listening to my questions or ones that the Holy Spirit is posing to you. So here it goes. Are you afraid that God isn't hearing your prayers? Are you showing up in life filled with doubt about God's interest in you and what's going on in your life? Are you doubting his ability to impact your life? So just think about those. Meditate on those. Because you've got to identify what's really going on first. And be candid with yourself, right? It's between you and the Holy Spirit right now. And he already knows you intimately. So just say, all right, help me see. What am I really thinking? Am I having thoughts of fear and doubt? And so step 2 is, you know, identify that thinking that needs to be changed. So we're looking for the emotions that might be giving us some clues up to where your thoughts are. Are your thoughts filled with doubt or fear or anxiety? You know, does your trust in the Lord need to be renewed? Just take a little time to determine what thought patterns aren't serving your walk with the Lord. You got to identify those first before we go to step 3, which is pray. You know, prayer is an amazing tool that helps you move into transformation. Maybe, you know, you've come out of a difficult past. Maybe as Tammy was sharing her story, there's an experience that came up for you, a remembrance. And maybe those experiences have made you think that you can't do certain things, or that certain relationships can't be mended, or, you know, who knows what your story is. You do. But maybe you're just catching yourself saying, I can't do this. It is too hard for me. So, you know, what might happen if you started reframing your thoughts and your words? You know, and we've talked in this podcast about the power of the spoken word, and we will more to come. But instead of saying those other words, maybe you can say to yourself, okay, this is hard, but with God's help, I can get better if I keep trying. You know, he has all the strength I need. Because I personally don't believe that it's God's intent for you to avoid challenges. You know, he wants you to pray to him and to seek his strength to overcome challenges and to renew your mind. And so that takes us to step four, which is meditate in the Word. And obviously, meditate here means dig into it, pray over it, think about it, discover what it has to say about doubts and fears. Maybe you need to look for those words. You know, maybe it's about trust. Look for how can you trust Him. And maybe there's other emotions or thought patterns that are distracting you from a deeper faith. You know, spend some time searching the Scriptures, you know, and find the answers you need to move forward in renewing your mind. And you're going to find those answers in the Word. And then, of course, step five is be transformed when? Daily. It's a daily practice. So as you move into a deeper state of believing and receiving from the Lord through this process, through the renewing of your mind, you're going to build in ways to daily stand on the promises from God. And, you know, for some of you, it helps to put Scripture on a sticky note. All right, check out Mark 9:23. It says, all things are possible for him who believes. Or maybe you need to write down Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That was the one I put on my boys' notebooks at the beginning of the school year. And I reminded them, does it say some things? No, Mom, it says all things. I was like, that's right, all things. God gives you strength for all things. Another one you could consider is Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And of course, here's one of my favorites, and it might be yours too. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I can see that eagle soaring now. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
That's a great step plan you put out for people. And I know personally with Philippians 4:13, that's one of my favorite. It's a very easy, simple one you can memorize too. And it applies to so many different things in your life. You can use it for so many different things. Wow. So speaking of verses, I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the one that Jo Heather brought up that she started us off with, which is Romans 12:2. And be not conformed. So I'm going to read it again in case you forgot it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, not only does this verse instruct us to change our thinking, but from worldly views to the kingdom views, but it also tells us why. Right? It's important to know why you're asked to do something. And it says that we may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will God. What is that? It didn't say just to know it, right? It's talking about being able to prove it. First, you got to know something before you can prove it. So what does that mean? So, and so let's first of all, look at what he says. So what is that perfect will of God? It's good, acceptable, and perfect. Three things. Very simple for three things. Good, acceptable, and perfect. So when we start, the reason why it's important to prove this is because as a born-again believer and one that is renewing your mind, you're going to expect change. We should be walking around talking and being a living example of God's good and acceptable and perfect will. We should be that light out there. I'm not saying we become perfect, you know, but we're supposed to become more Christ-like as we grow closer to the Lord. That's what it says, not to be conformed to this world. You don't be conformed to this world. You're supposed to be conformed to the kingdom's things, right? Meaning, and don't mold yourself that represents the world. You don't want to be a representation of what's in the world. You want to be a representation of Christ. So we're going to look at a few more verses here that's going to help make this point easier for you to grasp onto. So one is John 15:19. If ye were in the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, this is just the King James Version, but basically the world doesn't like you because you're of God. Now, so this is Jesus speaking for those who aren't familiar with the verse. And he's saying that you're not of the world. He has chosen you out of the world, right? And Jesus separated you from the world. He points out that the world, you know, loves itself. Notice this separation that he makes. And because of that, the world hates you. Meaning, we're not talking about everybody in the world who doesn't know God. We're talking about the people in the world who reject God. You know, and you know the people that I'm talking about, the people who hate the Lord, who reject God, who want to live in sin. All right, these are the people. And this is what the word talks about with persecution of Christians. and people experience it all over the world, big or small. And sadly to say, we saw this during the lockdowns. We saw how the world treated the church. It was not a pretty sight, right? We saw that, what this verse is talking about. So then back into the book of John, before this is a period of time. So Jesus is about to be arrested and crucified. And he prays to the Father for his disciples and for all believers. There's two separate prayers. So first he prays for his immediate disciples, and then he prays for all the believers who would come to know him through their discipleship. And because he knows that he's coming out of the world. When he was in the world, he could protect them, and he loves them, and he's so concerned with them that he took time to talk to his Father about them. You know, he wasn't going to be here for them. And what was he concerned about? So this is one of the things that I'm going to read. It's John 17, verses 14 through 16. Now, there's three short verses. I'll just read them so you can get a picture of what Jesus was talking about. So, I have given them your word, he's talking about God's word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. See, they're Christ-like. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So again, Jesus is making a distinction here that his disciples are not of the world, just like you. You know, if you're a believer in Christ, you shouldn't be. And just like Jesus is not. He's saying they're like me. He saw them like himself, right? He could see Christ in them, working in them. And so that they were separate. So they were, again, we are in this world, but we are not of it. We should look differently. So why is that? Because of the word of God. He gave them the word. That's what he starts in the beginning, because he gave them the word. So the word of God that what? Renews our minds, right? You can't renew your mind. This is a big blooper here, a reveal. You cannot renew your mind without the word. Have you ever thought about that before? You need the word to renew your mind. It transforms us. It teaches us who God is and what his will is, right? The world testifies, along with God, the power of the Holy Spirit given to us. So he gives us his Holy Spirit inside of us, that when we read the word, it testifies to us. It gives us a revelation of the word. It becomes alive to us. It reveals to us things. It tells you, like the Holy Spirit was telling me, I needed to change some things. I needed to change how I was, you know, thinking about resentments and forgiveness. I had to change that. When you read the word, the Holy Spirit works with God in his word together to renew your mind, right? It's molding us to be more like Christ. And when you renew your mind, it changes your behaviors so you can be transformed.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Tammy. For painting that picture of how it all works together, all together, to renew our minds. You know, we must experience salvation through Jesus, who reconciles us to the Father. And then we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is God in us. And we engage in an active prayer life. We spend time daily in the Word, as you said. It's the Word that helps us renew our minds and build our trust in God. Now, Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And man, I want that perfect peace. You know, I want it. And with that scripture in mind, I'm going to give you guys a challenge question of the week, actually, too. How can you strengthen your trust in God and experience a steadfast mind? And what will it be like to renew your mind daily in Christ? Wow. We hope today's episode blessed you greatly. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And as Tammy said earlier, join our email list by visiting loveandencouragement.com to gain early access to each episode. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.